Hello, I'm Patty Wall, and I'm interviewing Iris. So what was your general experience of the war?
Well, I was, I guess, nearly 6 or 5 when the Second World War broke out, and I lived in just outside London in the United Kingdom. And I remember the day because I was sitting in the garden with my grandmother, and there were a whole load of people inside in the lounge. And then suddenly they all started shouting and carrying on. And I said to my grandmother, "What is going on?" And she said, "Oh," she said, "some silly little man with a moustache has decided that he wants to boss everybody about." And so I said, "Well, you're not going to let him, Nana, are you?" And so she said, "No, I'm not going to let him. Don't worry about that." So that was the first day that it started. Well, I lived in a place outside London that was between South Downs and the railway on one side, and I went to school in a school in a place called Kenley, which was so close to the Spitfire aerodrome up in the hill there that they evacuated the whole school down into a safer place further down. And so one night when we were in bed, my sister and I woke up and I had a mouthful of sand, and then my mother came rushing in and she said, "Are you all right? Are you all right?" And I said, "Why did you throw all that sand in my mouth whilst I was asleep?" And then I looked up and I said, "Oh, I can see the stars." And the whole of our roof had been blown off, and we had no windows, and all the glass came out of the windows, and it was all across my sister and I had been in bed. Mm-hmm. And they, my mother and my father were sleeping in another room, and their windows came in, and they had a big cabinet on the side of the bed, and all the glass pieces went into the frame of the place, but it went right across the bed, so they didn't get hurt. Mm-hmm. And so the next day, we had the army came and put big black tarpaulins all over the roof and all over the windows, so that we couldn't even see outside inside then. Mm-hmm. And I was quite excited because I was sent down the road to the water tap with a bucket, because we had no water, we had no electricity, that was all gone. Now that happened actually to us twice. And the school that I was now at, we had big shelters like that, but they're brick and concrete, where we were each given a little pack of books, called Tom Thumb books, around books, and a gas mask in a gas mask case, and some rations in a little tin with tape around it. And I spent most of my early days down in that shelter, which was horribly damp and smelly. And all we had were the teacher, the gas mask, and we had carrying these books, and that's it. And then when the siren left and went off, we went back to the classroom. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the school that I started in, because it was just like. And then my sister and I were evacuated to another place with other people, because our house had been bombed again. We couldn't go and live back there.
To like the countryside?
Sorry?
To like the countryside or?
No, the
or
house.
A different
no,
area.
The house, as I said, our house was too close to the aerodrome, so we couldn't stay there. And so we had to go to a big big place. I'd never been on a train in the underground, in the underground railway before, and I couldn't understand why it was dark down there and it was light still up the top there. But we were taken to a place where there were lots of other children, and we each had a little bag with some clothes in. And then we were put onto buses and taken into the countryside. Oh, we were trains first, then buses taken into the countryside. And people, because the bombs were so bad in London, the people came out from their houses and got onto the bus and took children and said, you know, I'm going to have that one and that one. And I took them off the bus, took them into their house. To stay away from the bombs in London. But my mother, who had just had my baby brother, was with us, and we were sent to a big church hall with all sorts of other children, and then they gave us a room up in the belfry where the bells were, and then we had to get on a bus again the next day, and that's how we went across. That happened to me 3 times altogether. I was taken to another place to live, far, far away from London. So anyway, I lived. I'm alive, and all through that, it was really quite a horrifying experience. But because my sister and I were so small, we thought it was very exciting.
Yeah.
We didn't think that any of it was dangerous. And my mother, of course, my father had to stay behind because he was a policeman, so he had to stay. I didn't see him for about 2 years, I guess, altogether. But he still stayed alive.
Is it weird, like, having those memories but also not being...
Sorry?
Is it peculiar to have these memories and to now comprehend what you experienced and know the context around it, but when you're actually experiencing...
I think it's because when you're a child,
yes.
You don't
yeah.
think about anything except what's happening to you at that particular time,
mm-hmm.
and as you can imagine, it was rather exciting in its own way, because it was different from the usual, you know, going to school and then having lunch and then coming back home, and that's it. And the only real thing that happened to me was when I was 6, I was allowed to join the library, but only if you were never allowed to speak in the library, then you had it's quite. So that was, and then of course we were sent away, and I was 3 times actually, we were sent away from London, and the house never really recovered until after the war was over.
Do you remember a time when people around you and like in newspapers and stuff where people actually thought that Nazi Germany could invade Great Britain, like by land?
We were all, I don't know, I was a child, I don't know, but I do know that my parents thought that they would be invaded. And then, of course, I mean, the war for us was all the bombs and the planes and the things, you know, on a fine day, when you laid on the grass in the garden, which my sister and I did on our backs, and saw a dogfight with a Spitfire and a Luftwaffe plane, mm-hmm. up above the sky. It always seemed to me the sky was always beautiful then. And I can remember my dad coming, rushing down the garden and said, I told you kids to get in the air raid shelter. What are you doing here? And he picked my sister and I up, one under each arm, and he threw us into the air raid shelter, which is, was a dugout thing in the garden. It was white. And I can remember I hit the sandbags and I said, oh, Dad, that really hurt. And he said, I told you to get down there, and now that's why. That's...
Did the, at such a young age, did the war leave any lasting impression on you?
No.
Or did it?
No, I think I was one of the lucky ones because I had school friends who, you know, had lost their mom or their dad was fighting in the army and they didn't know if he would ever come back again. And I think unless something desperate like that, most of us, friends as well, it was just, you know, something we had to do. It was not normal, but I mean, it was actually quite exciting at times because it was out of the normal. We went to different places and had to stay in different houses, and sometimes we were separated and sometimes we were not. And then we thought that it was going to be okay when the Germans managed to find those pilotless things that came across, and there was no...
The V-7s?
Buzz bombs.
Yeah.
And there's no way that that could be attacked.
The rockets, yeah.
Because whatever you did with them, they were going to explode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we were sent away again, because we thought the first lot was over, the second lot maybe. And then, of course, the last lot was because we didn't really have anywhere to live there, and everywhere was rubble, and so
yeah.
We went back again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. I was lucky because I was a survivor, so was my sister, my brother, and my mom and dad.
Thank you. I appreciate it.